Guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
I've created a monster, 'cause nobody wants to see Marshall no more. They want Shady, I'm chopped liver.
Well, if you want Shady, this is what I'll give you. A little bit of weed mixed with some hard liquor. Some vodka that'll jumpstart my heart quicker than a shock when I get shocked at the hospital by the doctor when I'm not cooperating. When I'm rocking the table while he's operating.
Hey!
You waited this long to stop debating, 'cause I'm back, I'm on the rag and ovulating. I know that you got a job, Miss Cheney, but your husband's heart problem's complicating. So the FCC won't let me be, or let me be me, so let me see. They try to shut me down on MTV, but it feels so empty without me. So come on and dip, come on your lips, fuck that, come on your lips, and come on your tits and get ready. 'Cause this shit's about to get heavy, I just settled all my lawsuits. Fuck you, Debbie!
Now this looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, 'cause we need a little controversy, 'cause it feels so.
We are a family. We're a family podcast, okay? Go fuck yourself if you think any differently. Welcome to War of the Bay. My name is Kyle.
My name is Nick.
And that title has nothing to do, or that theme song had nothing to do with anything that we're going to talk about on this podcast. So just, you know, it's just a good song. I like it.
I think you're a liar.
I like the song. I think it's a great
song.
I think
you're a bold-faced liar.
All right, let's get right out of the gate. Where do we start? I think we should start at the beginning, right?
Yep.
Stamkos is out for the rest of the season. We haven't talked about that yet.
I know.
He's done.
Fucking blood clot.
Yeah, a blood clot, which I hear. Okay, so this is the strange thing about this blood clot. So it's happened to us twice this year, and it's, I think, with Vasilevsky's, was it generally the same area? Was it like the upper?
Because it could easily have been in his leg and been just as dangerous.
From what I hear is that it's like around the collarbone area, or like, you know, upper body, which is the same thing I believe that happened to Vasilevsky's. And so from what I'm hearing is like this is an injury that's like common for like volleyball players. It's common for basketball players, people that like have to have their hands over their head a lot. You know what I mean? So it just
doing Stamkos.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, what is he doing?
Keep your stick down.
Like, is it something with his workouts? Is he doing a lot of lat pull downs? Is he doing like a, like, what's going on? I don't know. I think is it like the block shots? Is it the high slap shots where, you know, he's.
No, I think he might be onto something with his training though, because that move isn't really prevalent in hockey. You know, that motion.
No, I think so. Like you put your. When you're reeling up for a slap shot, you have both hands above your shoulders. Like on the backswing of that slap shot, that's two hands above your shoulders. Think about that. Do the motion. Like seriously, like right now I'm doing it. Like when you're coming back for a slap shot, you at least have two hands at shoulder level or above.
Okay,
right?
Hold on. All right. So
Nick literally did a slap shot right there. But yeah,
hold on. All right, nope, that didn't work.
Now I feel like I'm doing the dab. I'm doing the slap shot at home. I'm doing the dab. The dab. But yeah, when you're on the backside,
right. That's not enough to get a blood clot.
But you're still he. How many shots a game does Stamkos take? I mean, he's got to take a fucking ton.
Well,
I think that if I had to guess, I'm just guessing. If I had to guess, I'm guessing that's probably why. You know, because he's taking those slap shots. He's reeling back and, poof, you know.
Yeah, it could. But the thing is people are genetically predisposed to these things.
That's true, too.
You know, maybe something in his, you know, workout routine or in his diet. You got to think it's maybe just a random freak thing.
Stop.
You know, this happens to a lot of people.
Stop with the lat pull downs, man. I know ladies love big lats, but. You know, you don't need to be out there fucking pulling down 200 pounds on the lat pull down machine. You know, it's who, you know, big shoulders, whatever. Do some fucking rows, bro. Do a couple of fucking rows and shit. You know, you don't have to put your hands above your head or anything like that.
So Would you think it's fair to say that with Stamkos going down and under the knife, by the way, successful surgery from what the report is, that he had it removed successfully and is on his way to...
At Tampa General, which I was surprised at. I'm surprised, like, it's usually it's like, hey, Dr. James Andrews, successful surgery. Okay, so not Stamkos, but Anthony's dropping science on us on the fucking Mickler chat, so I'm gonna read it here.
This just it.
The vein rides over the rib, and when the arm moves, it keeps getting rubbed, and this constant rubbing causes injury to the veins. I don't know where this article is, Anthony. If you can give me the
Sabar,
the person who did the article, because it's a quote.
Oh yeah, I thought maybe it was like his doctor or something.
Yeah. The cardiologist added that Stamkos is,
oh, it is lucky. There you go.
He's lucky physicians caught this just in time. It's from WFLA. Looks like their story.
A local.
So cardiologists weighed in on it. Interesting. Okay. So it's when the arm moves, it keeps getting rubbed, and this constant rubbing causes injury to the vein. So he doesn't specify like how the arm is moving or what particular motion is causing that injury. You know what I mean? That's interesting. Like, they removed the rib. Holy shit! I didn't know that.
Oh, that's probably why I was about to say, wait a second. What part of this surgery is?
They removed. Stamkos has one rib removed. So,
huh?
Theoretically, he could suck his own dick.
All right, Marilyn Manson.
I mean, as a man, we've all tried. I mean, come on. You're not a man if you haven't tried to suck your own dick. So maybe Stamkos got this injury by sucking his or trying. Okay, I'm sorry. No, we're not going down this road. I apologize.
Blood clot. Ugh, orgasming.
I apologize. No, that was uncouth, as they say.
But so is it fair to say that we've been bitten hard by the injury bug this year?
Oh, yeah. That happens. I mean, it happens.
Because now we're dealing with not only Strawman having his broken leg and being out, but now we've got the likes of Callahan and now Hedman out.
Here's one of the inevitable things about being a sports fan that I've sort of realized now. I'm almost 30, and I've sort of realized this over my years of just supporting sports teams is that
Tampa Bay.
But just teams in general, supporting Tampa teams. But I mean, this happens to every team, and it's inevitable that you will always, like, just like death and taxes, you're always going to have that season where everything goes wrong, and you get plagued by the injury bug, and you lose these stupid last second inches plays, and the everything just seems to go wrong for you, and there's always going to be those seasons where you're constantly injured, everybody's injured. You know, the Rays come to mind when Longoria used to be, I think, 2000, what was it, 11 or 12, when Longoria had long stints on the DL followed by other.
He was going to be the cornerstone for the whole season.
Right.
And
yeah. So it's something that happens, and I'm not going to sit here like an asshole and say, hey, I called it. But, I just didn't think that this was our year from – you know, kind of the beginning, not the beginning, but like when we started losing big chunks of games, it just didn't feel right to me. You know, it feels right to you when you know your team is good, you know it's good.
Honestly, and I hate to keep harkening back to this, but the Bucks, you knew the Bucks were really good when we won the Super Bowl.
I told my dad game two, I said, this is looks like a Super Bowl team. And we won the Super Bowl.
So, no offense, but have you ever said that to him or anybody else and been completely dead wrong?
No. I that's the only time I've ever said something akin to that. I think last year, I think with the Lightning, I said that this looked like a Stanley Cup caliber team. But I mean, you felt something special last year, didn't you? Wasn't there a special feeling that came with last year?
I will say every there game? Was a special feeling at the towards the end of the regular season. I saw that twinkle and thought, oh shit, we're dangerous.
I don't know. Something about the whole season last year with the Lightning, just it felt special. It felt like a special season. And sure enough, we went to the Stanley Cup Finals. And that's not winning. That's not at all. But it felt from almost game one, it felt special. And then this year, I didn't feel that. That's not to say that we weren't we didn't have the same team that we did last year. I think we had a better team than we did last year, but it just didn't work for us. And there was just like I just didn't feel it this year for some reason. And I'm saying I'm not fucking Nostradamus over here, but
I understand your team. It's definitely a you know, when you get into those games where it was 2-2 in the going in late in the third, instead of last year, you were like, oh shit, we're gonna blow them out. No, not this year. We're like, can we please win this?
Yeah.
I found myself bargaining this year rather than being assured.
Yeah, last year you're looking 2-3 games ahead. This year you're like, oh fuck, I really hope we can beat the Devils.
And we're gonna get by these non-playoff teams. Like,
yeah,
oh god,
yeah, can we hit these? I mean, we should beat the Rangers, but Jesus, I don't know who. I hope so. It's like that. And I know we're going to talk about this later, but I'm just going to bring it up and kind of not bury the lead. But like with the Rays, like, okay, so like the Rays this season, I don't have a certain feeling yet. I mean, it's, of course, we've split, but you know, it's certainly possible that it all depends on how you kind of play early on. And then you kind of, you build off that momentum. And I think there's something to that. There's something to like those feelings when your team is building off momentum and winning games in a row.
Well, I definitely agree with you. I think there's momentum plays a big part in this.
Yeah, I'm not trying to sit here and say it's juju and that like I fucking predicted the future. It's just that like you look at the way
but
you,
I called it.
Well, no, you know how your team plays. Like you know better than anybody how your team plays. You've never seen them play like this before, and you have and then they all of a sudden here they start winning games and you have confidence in them like you've never had. So I knew that Super Bowl year. I knew this is a Super Bowl caliber team. And then it got to the point where we played the Eagles, and I said, "Hey, if the Bucs win this game, I don't know who stops us. I really don't know who stops us." And they lost, and I cried. I literally went home and I cried into my bed, and I couldn't believe that the Eagles beat us. I fucking hated that image of Donovan McNabb throwing the touchdown pass to that little short ass wide receiver. I can't remember his name, but he's, you know, that they're
Avery? Little,
not Avery, but they had a bunch of jabronis at wide receiver. But I'll never forget that. I fucking cried. And then all of a sudden we're playing Green Bay. So like that Monday night game against Green Bay, and I'm like, okay, well this is the test then. Like if we can beat the Green Bay Packers on Monday Night Football, Brett Favre, Mike Sherman, and that was the Packers were the shit. And I knew if we could beat them, then we really had a shot at doing something special this year. And we fucking beat them. We beat them. It was because we never beat them. We never used to beat the Packers. The Packers owned us, and they still pretty much own us. But fucking that few years, man. Special.
But the thing is we had the defense to rely on. We had a solid hook to hang our hat on.
Yeah.
I don't get that this year.
What faucet of the Lightning's game can you hang your hat on? The goaltending. Yeah.
That's it. But that's a big fucking hook.
Yeah, and it's an uneasy hook as we've seen in the last couple of years because Bishop, no fault of his own, but it just happens. He gets, you know, he's gotten injured. And it's
he's a big man. That's a lot to move.
Yeah, it's shaky. A lot of the mechanics, just like Jeff Niemann, old Jeff Niemann. All those mechanics, all that shit.
There's something more to go wrong.
It's like when you get a fancy car. Yeah, it's just more shit that
can
break.
Like, this is nice, but that oil chain's gonna be a bitch.
Yeah. So Stamkos goes down, and you know we knew that we're a playoff caliber team, so we've made the playoffs, and. You know, I see a lot of people that are like, oh, fuck, you know, like, we're not going to do shit in the playoffs, myself among them. But still, the playoffs are, as a Bucks fan, I would suck 20 bleedy dicks in an alleyway.
all perspective, because I think even a Rays fan right now, if you offered them a second round of the playoffs, okay.
Yeah. Oh, just make it and we get knocked out. Yeah, I'll take it. Fuck it. I'll get to watch some playoff baseball. Yeah, that'd be great. Like, It's a special feeling, and it's sort of lost on Lightning fans right now because they're a little spoiled. Like, they made it the last couple of years. They've made it the last 3 years. Now they're like, we need something more.
Anthony brings up a good point, though. Playoffs are good. They are. But we're not some rag team on the rise. We were the Eastern Conference champions last year. It's kind of expected with this roster.
Right, but if you look at hockey, it's very hard to go back to the Stanley Cup, and it's even harder to win it twice in a row. I mean, there's not a whole lot of players in the modern or not a whole lot of teams in the modern era that have done it. You know,
not a whole lot of teams even had chances.
The Montreal Canadiens went back, you know, back when there were fucking seven teams and they were just destroying it. But, you know, in this day and age, it's very, very hard to do it. So you got to, like, look at the Blackhawks.
Well, it's hard to do in any sport because look at the talent. All the talent changes every year.
Right. And you get lucky, you get unlucky. There's injuries.
Yeah,
there's so many variables.
Of depth.
Yeah.
Injury streaks and hot streaks and everything. And you just... You know, I feel like a lot of last year's success in the playoffs came from secondary scoring. And going into the playoffs, that was the biggest worry last year.
Right. And
so
this year, it's primary scoring. It's like, how the fuck are we going
to
score?
You know what needs to happen for us to win the Stanley Cup? Because, I mean, everybody admits it's harder and harder to see us be in there now that Stamkos is down. But it's if that play or is that power play comes to life. If we can get the power play started, we are a fucking dangerous team.
But it's like we haven't shown that we can ever get it started. But it's funny you should say, like, okay, last year it was like the secondary scoring or it was like the third line scoring. You know, we knew the Stamkos line could score. We knew the triplets could score. We even knew that fucking Paquette, yeah, and JT Brown could bang out a goal, but like, what about the third or about the fourth line or something? It was the secondary scoring, but this year we have, or at least not this year, but I'd say as of late, now that Stamkos is down, we're kind of wondering, well, where's the primary scoring? Because the triplets have been broken up, our power play units is as bad as ever.
Yep.
Yeah. So where's the scoring? Where are the points going to come from? Says the front office. I mean, when you got Stammer down, where are we going to get the points from? Well, let's look at the Syracuse Crunch. Oh, there's
say,
a guy down there who scored 9 goals in the last 9 games. Well, what's his name? His name's Jonathan Drouin. Ah, fuck. Let's bring him up. Bring up Drouin.
You know that there was a point in time where Steve Yzerman's in his office like, no, I don't want to. And some PR guy's like, Steve, you have no other choice.
He literally had no other choice. I made a tweet today and been like, I think, what did I say? It's like, just, you know, just like every player's dream to get fucking emergency called up after your star player goes down or something like that. It's, yeah, you really earned the spot, kid. Fucking.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's I like that he's back on the team. Sorry, I don't know. That there's a lot of Lightning fans that don't like that. It's like, hey, let's try to repair this relationship.
Also, let's get a Word of the Bay update. It's a tie game, 1-1.
Brother, well, that's more injuries you need to go into because you know you have Strahlman that's out. I think we talked about that, and then you have Hedman that's also out from a fucking a dirty fucking hit.
Yeah.
Me as a Lightning fan saying that, but obviously the NHL.
I would say dirty, dirty.
Well,
but
the NHL.
It was a cheap hit.
They didn't review it, so I guess they didn't think it was a dirty hit. So,
but. I'll say this much. I don't think his injuries are too severe because he's being listed day to day with a non-specific.
Yeah, I guess.
Body injury.
What I'm hearing is that Hedman could return Saturday, and then what we have in Callahan, who also got a low blow. He's out. He's pretty much out until the playoffs.
I second Anthony's sentiments. Fuck the Islanders.
Yeah, fuck the Islanders. That's
angry ass kid that knows you have better toys than him, so he tries to break yours.
That was disgusting, man. I mean, I don't understand how the NHL doesn't take a look at that.
I don't understand how the NFL doesn't take a look at it either. Hockey is just a really entertaining sport.
It's frustrating, to say the least. As a Lightning fan, this season has been very frustrating, but.
But what
we've made the playoffs
years ago.
We've made the playoffs.
Would this just be like, oh, Lightning? But now that we have expectations,
yeah, yeah, it's we're spoiled fans, but it, like Anthony said, like when you at a certain point making it to the playoffs every year is not good enough. You got to be able to fucking.
That's how coaches get fired, by being stagnant winners, yeah, or partial winners.
Yeah, yeah. Look at I mean, you can name a bunch of examples. The first name that came to mind was Marvin Lewis, but I was like, fuck, no, that's not right. But it's I don't know. I don't know where the offense is going to come from in this playoff series. I don't know where the defense is going to come from. I know where the goaltending is going to come from.
Well, we're going to rely heavily on Filppula. I mean, God, hope Callahan can come back, because he's going to be a key cog.
Yeah, the triplets are back, and now that's our first line right now.
Yep. You know, it's funny. We always made that comment. Well, the triplets would have been the first line on a lot of teams in the NHL. Yeah, guess what? Now one of us is being ours.
I mean, if you said, okay, well, Stamkos is leaving, what would you do? Reunite the triplets and call up Druin. That's what you'd fucking do. And here we have Stamkos, who's out. So what do? You reunite the triplets and you fucking call up Druin. So now Druin's playing on the same line with Nemestikov and Killorn, which I think that's I'd see how that goes. I mean, tonight we're
okay,
so far
Druin
tied.
Might be an asshole, but he is a playmaker.
Yeah, that's an interesting line. I like that. And then Filppula, poor Filppula, is down to the third line. He's like, okay, I'll play with JT Brown and Cedric Paquette. That fucked up. Phil pulls a third
like every
line.
Every time
dude.
That like Cedric Paquette gets to the stadium, he gets surprised that they gave him his own sticks with his name on it.
Was it me? Cedric Paquette? Okay. All right, I'll do it. But like
never talks about that guy ever.
Even more fucking just like cringeworthy, or just, I don't know, not cringeworthy, but like how far we've fallen is the defensive pairing when you have Garrison, Schuster, Nesterov, Carl, and then the guy who we got from New Jersey. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Tamina?
Anthony to the rescue.
And then Braden Coburn.
Good old Braden Coburn.
Hey, 55. Hey, defense.
Hey, man. How does that signing look now for depth, huh? Huh, everybody who said Braden Coburn was not an integral signing?
Oh, shit. Nick fucking dropping bombs on. Yeah. Like now that Strawman and Hedman are down,
you know what, Anthony, your decor is awful.
Yeah, it is pretty awful.
I know it'd still be here, but now he's here forever and longer.
Brian Boyle, Deuce. I mean, Victor.
I don't know. I just have a feeling that Matt Carl is going to ruin my playoffs.
Dude, I we're one and done this year. I'm sorry. We just are.
No, we are not.
Yeah, we are.
Nope.
For sure. So, I don't know. The only way that we go deep into the playoffs is if suddenly Druin's potential is realized and he fucking goes ham. Hedman comes back in time for the playoffs and plays well. Vasilevsky and Bishop stand on their fucking head every night, and then Tyler Johnson somehow comes out of this fucking second or this fucking funk.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah, that's the only way.
He should be the Superman that rises to the occasion, and he's right. Just kind of being a background singer right now.
That's what he looked like last year. He looked like, fuck Stamkos in his contract here. We got Johnson, we got Druin, we're fine without you, motherfucker.
And now we've got Kucherov, because Kucherov is, kicking the barn doors off, but... I don't know. Tyler Johnson's just regressed.
Maybe he's like BJ Upton in the playoffs, and he just only does good when he's. I don't know. That's what we need to happen. Tyler Johnson needs to return to his playoff form last year. Yep. Jonathan Druin needs to at least realize some of his potential, and Victor Hedman, Ben Bishop, and Vasilevsky need to play out of their fucking mind.
You know what? I hate
for
to say
us
this,
to have a
man,
chance.
I don't want to see Vasilevsky anymore.
I don't know. I think you're gonna have to. In this playoff series,
I still stand behind the playoffs are not a time where you give goalies breaks.
I don't know if it's set in stone though. I don't know if it's been set in stone yet, Nick. But it's either gonna be the Bruins, or it's going to be
Bruins or Detroit.
So those are two teams you do not want to see first. I mean, That's
to tell you the truth. I would much rather see
the Red Wings.
Either of those teams than most of the rest. I think we have a clearer shot to the. Yeah, see, you ride Bishop into the sunset.
You ride Bishop like a dirty horse, like a fuck. Like you ride Bishop like.
Tom Brady gets ridden by Bill Belichick.
No. You ride Bishop.
Inflated balls. That's how you ride it.
No, you fucking ride Ben Bishop like Jeff Bridges in fucking True Grit, where he's like stabbing the horse at the end, like, go! Like, that's how you ride Bishop. You give me everything! And then you crawl your way to the fucking finals. Even after Bishop is like that's pretty much what we did last year too.
I was just about to say, and then Vasilevskiy came in and he did really well that game, but we just helped. We helped him no percent.
Drone would need to literally be, that'd be fucked up if Drone just like suddenly realized his all-star potential became Patrick, a god, and we're like, fuck Stamkos, goodbye, go to Maple Leafs, bitch. I don't care. Like we'll keep this team intact, and Drouin will be the fucking the star.
So I guess that's the question: is if what if he does?
Hey, you know what Jonathan Drouin's not gonna do? Fucking bitch about time at center. He's gonna be a fucking wing like a gentleman, and then lead us to the goddamn finals. Okay.
Oh man, I think that. That bridge is pretty much charred for him and Steve Yzerman right now.
I would hope not.
I think the only thing holding it together is the sheer hope that he can put enough good games together on tape to get a good offer next season.
Yeah. He does seem like quite the asshole, doesn't he? Steve Yzerman and Jonathan Drouin.
Well, I think it's just an ego check here, and the fact that Steve Yzerman holds a higher position is the only reason that it's gone this way rather than the other way.
It's true. You're right. I can't say that you're wrong. It's I don't know if that. I just hope that relationship can be salvaged, and especially now that it's like, hey, Drew, check it out. You get all the playoff fucking time that you want right now. Like, it's his playoffs to shine. This is his moment, really. This is a moment to show like the entire league what he has and to really say fuck you to the Lightning. And if he does well.
Yeah, you know what? Go ahead and say fuck you to the Lightning while giving us a Stanley Cup. Do it.
This is,
I want you to.
I can think of no better shot than right now. I mean, both sides have like tail between their, oh shit, we done fucking went ahead. Cedric Paquette done scored. And
that's how time delayed it is, because I'm still looking at a 1-1 score right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Damn, dude.
Oh, to be a pirate.
Yarr.
Excuse you to stream the game.
No,
legally.
I'm a Buccaneer fan.
To stream, pirate. Yeah, to pirate. Yeah, anyways. It's yeah. What a strange year it's been for the Lightning.
It has been a peculiar year indeed.
Yeah, and it can only get weirder the deeper we get into the playoffs. So.
Oh, it's, yeah.
I'm still going to root for him. I'll still be there. I mean, I think we...
Oh, good, Kyle. I was wondering.
Yeah. Yeah, I was on the verge of giving him up. I was going
to
switch over. No, I'm going to switch to the fucking Rangers and go back to supporting all my New York teams.
Wow, you were given a chance to pick a new team, and you don't pick the team, the clear President's Trophy winning team.
No.
Six balls.
I'm calling out one person in particular who probably doesn't listen to the podcast, but still, I like to give this person shit. Going back to my New York teams, fuck you. Anyways, it's we'll see what happens. I certainly hope Jonathan Drouin can lead us back to some kind of he could be the Messiah. What if he just fucking leads us to the promised land?
I was about to say, first and foremost, he's on this team currently, helping this team win right now. For all you fans out there cursing him, shut the fuck up. He's on the team right now getting us points.
But he's a crybaby.
I don't care. Warren Sapp was a complete asshole. He was a shred of a human being.
Yeah.
But he got after the quarterback really fucking quick.
Yeah, Jameis Winston is an alleged rapist, but hey, he throws the ball really well.
Yeah, he sure does.
He sure does scramble for that first down against the Falcons. Oh, boy.
Oh. It's just like, guys, so, oh, wait, okay, so this is what you do. When you wait after for the game for this autograph, don't get his. That'll show him.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't have to like the guy if he plays for your team. I don't like Jameis Winston, but he plays for my team.
Yeah.
So, you don't have to like him. You like the logo on the front of the jersey. You don't have to like the name on the back of the jersey. That's what I've learned.
Yeah, like it's just it's to a point where what makes you think your shit don't stink.
But look, if you don't like Drew, you're being silly. You really are being silly. I'm sorry. I think it's, yeah. Was he a crybaby?
Hey, sure. I just watched Paquette score.
The kid wanted to be a fucking hockey player in the NHL. You mean to tell me if you weren't called the best ever, oh, your entire way up to the NHL that you wouldn't want to? You don't think you should be a part? He's a competitor. He wants to be a part of the playoff roster.
The fifth grade, that kid was told he's solid gold talent.
Yeah, you're special. Your body moves in a certain way that just says to us that you are going to be very special. And so he's like, yeah, I'm awesome. And all of a sudden, the Lightning were like, hey, you're not that awesome, asshole. Go back to fucking Syracuse. And he's like, trade me. And then Eisenman's like, no. And his agent's like, please.
Anybody else notice that I called Cedric Paquette for nobody talking about him and he scores a goal?
Cedric Paquette. Lightning goals! Cedric Paquette. Okay, let's take a quick break. What do you say? I'm done with the Lightning. I'm not done with them. I mean, we have a lot more hockey to talk as long as the team is still active. So, but for now, I think I've said my piece. How about you?
Yeah, I'm quite happy.
All right, let's reset for a moment and then... I think there's something else going on in the area, isn't there?
One thing.
We'll find. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Kind of a dead week as far as sports. We'll find.
We got
some,
nothing going on.
We'll find something to talk about. Yeah, man. Fucking sports.
Well, we get done talking about the one active team.
Yeah. Oh, there's two active teams?
No, the one active team. You know.
Yeah. The one
Wait,
team.
What? Wait, did you hear that there was another team playing soon?
There were. I saw some shit on Bay News 9. I guess.
Wow.
The Rowdies. So
it must
the Rowdies
be
are
legit.
Actually, no. Not talking shit. The Rowdies did actually start. I think.
Oh.
Fairly recently. I'm not being an asshole, but like, yeah, the Rowdies did start fairly recently. So like, good on them. Like, I really hope the Rowdies continue to grow as a.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
organization.
Yeah, yeah.
That's only good for the
Go Sox? Flip Sox?
Go Green Sox, right?
Green Sox.
Green Sox, something like that. Dirty Green Sox.
Dirty.
I know a guy who's his name's Patrick. He's a big Rowdies fan. And so I've been to one game, and that was with Brett. And that was podcast listeners, you don't know who Brett is, but Brett's a friend of Nick and I. And It was like after a Rays game, we went to a Rays game, and then I was like, we Brett and I, we went down to the Avenue, had burgers, drank more, and we're like, fuck it, let's go to a Rowdies game. So like we went to a Rowdies game, me, Brett, and Brent, like doing chants, doing the chants like,
that classic.
All the Tampa boys making all the fucking noise because they can't beat the Tampa Rowdies, Rowdies, something like that.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah. So.
Well, hopefully they do continue their winning ways.
I hope so. But there legit is a major sports franchise that has been active as of late. And, Nick, I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk about these guys, right?
Yeah.
It's tradition at this point, right?
Well, as much of a tradition as this show could have.
Okay, so I think it's time for the first time this season to ask, do the Rays suck?
Hey.
We had to bury the lead a little bit, but fuck, I'm so pumped. I'm so pumped that baseball's back. Oh, I love it. I went to three fucking games this week.
Wow.
And
I'm impressed, man.
Well, it just so happens, like, if like my normal game package would have been Monday and Tuesday, but my friend Dave, who I sit with all the time, he's a friend from work.
Good old Dave.
Good old Dave. Have you ever met Dave? I have met Dave. Yeah, he said, hey, I got tickets for opening day, and this was the one time because it was on a Sunday where I'm like, yeah, I'm going, like, because it's on a Sunday and fuck yeah. So
I knew Dave before you knew Dave.
Did you? Oh, no, different Dave, Nick. Different Dave. Oh, there's okay, two. Right. Yeah, two different Daves. I know who you're talking about, and that guy's a great guy. Yeah,
but he doesn't like baseball.
Oh, he loves baseball. He's actually who got me into the Rays initially. But this is a different Dave who I worked with for a few years.
Okay, we've clearly established I have no idea who you're talking about.
There's two Daves, and clearly they're completely different. Okay,
irrelevant.
Yeah, it's completely irrelevant to the story because we're talking about the Rays. But so I went to opening day and Nick, you did as well.
I did,
and you didn't get to experience the pre opening day.
I did not
celebrations.
I sadly missed the
Nick.
I love tailgating.
I know. I saw you for all Blip. Of 2 seconds, and you looked just not happy because, like, I. Understandably, you just got off of work. You had to park in the fucking mess that was St. Pete on opening day.
And parking went up, apparently.
Oh, my God. Where I live, there's a parking lot in front of where I live. And we looked out the window, and it was $20. And we're like, 20 fucking bucks? Like, it's usually 10.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable. Yep. So, yeah, I fucking hats off to you, man, for toughing that out. Because I certainly would not have. I'm watching Dwayne Stats and Brian Anderson. Same thing.
I would have. God, I wanted to, but you know what? It's opening day. Gotta go. Wife's there, so
I had no idea your wife was going to be there. We were biking down the road to Green Bench, and here comes Jessie, like waving her arms, like out in the middle of the road. I'm like, oh shit, there's fucking Jessie. Let's go hang out with her for a bit. And she had a ticket to get my girlfriend into the game, so it all worked out perfectly. Like opening day magic is what I call that.
That was it was just a weird series of events too.
Yeah, it was. But Nick obviously did not have the best of opening days, which understandably so.
I didn't. The only reason, okay, I'll say this much: the only reason it wasn't a good opening day for me was that A, I had to work it, so I didn't get the tailgate, and B, we lost. When I was there, it was lovely.
Look, if it was me in your shoes, I would have had the exact same experience. So I can't blame you a tiny bit. So yeah,
it was frustrating because we looked not good for most of that game.
Like, oh, brother.
We struck out a lot of people. What was the final count? 16?
For Stroman? I'm not... Let me see.
No, Stroman.
Yeah, for opening day. Ah. For Marcus Stroman. I'm not sure how many strikeouts he had. Stroman had 5 strikeouts. He ended the day with 8 innings pitched. He went eight and a third, was it? He was brought out early in the ninth because we got guys on base. Yeah. Oh shit, is this Carlos? No way. Hold on. Who's in the Mixler chat right now?
It looks to be Carlos.
Carlos, holy shit. It's Carlos. God damn. Fuck yeah, man. So Carlos, who I knew early on in his career as at Cormant, has now joined us in the chat. Fuck yeah, man. This guy's we gotta get him on the podcast. He's one of my favorite guys on Twitter because he's just, I don't know, he's great. He's a great Rays fan. God damn. Carlos, I'm so glad you're here.
Well, since it is Rays season, or it is baseball season, it's quite fitting. We need to have him on.
Stroman, he worked 8 1/3, 6 hits. Right? Am I right? Yeah. One home run. His ERA that day was 3.38, and he was ridiculous that day. But always when I watch the Rays, I always feel like, it's not Stroman, it's us. It's our dumbass philosophy. It's our stupid fucking power-hitting philosophy, whatever the shit is that we're doing.
Yeah, whatever mojo we've got going on that week.
Yeah, and this game was like the antithesis. The open day felt like a continuation of last year, man.
I was just about to say, and we're back.
Yeah, and here we are. I felt like that was
Dwayne Stats in a very long commercial break from Crown Kia.
Here's Longoria. He does pretty good. Here's Steven Souza. He just strikes out. Here's Dickerson. He hit a home run. There's promise there. And then here's Logan Morrison, who just generally kind of sucks. And that's what it felt like. Where's James Loney? Get Morrison out of here. If this were an NFL game, we'd be like, fuck, Morrison doesn't belong on the team, clearly. And Chris Archer is not who we thought he was. But obviously this is baseball, and it's one game out of 162.
It's one game, there's 161 more, so calm down.
This is why we play him, gentlemen. So
yep.
A shaky start, I think.
And look at that. Look at your comment. And two games after that, Souza goes off for what's arguably better than a cycle.
Well I want to talk. I'll talk about that in a minute. But first, I want to talk about Chris Archer and the start that he had to the game, because I, walking into the stadium, was amped up. I was like, "Fuck, opening day! This is the first opening day that I've ever been to." For those that are listening, I've never been to an opening day, because it usually works out that opening day is on a Monday, and I have to work. And it's something
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's something where I never really want to request off. I'll just say, "I go." I usually have the second game, so I was like, "I'll go to the second game. I don't need to see." But like, for me, like, this is my first opening day, and I go there, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's opening day. And I go out into the field, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's opening day. Baseball is back. And I get all these butterflies. So me as a fan, I get that. I can only imagine what the players are feeling. And what Chris Archer, who we know is already a guy of strong emotion, is feeling. And I feel like he showed that early on. I mean, his control was just, he was missing high, he was missing low, he you know, the velocity was there, I think the command was there, but he had no control over his pitches, man.
He was rather wild.
He was all over the place. And then all of a sudden Jim Hickey comes out, and I feel like all Jim Hickey was like, hey man, just throw strikes. He's like, oh, okay. And then after that, what was it? He retires he strikes out the next 12, or not the next 12 batters.
Goes about fanning him.
I think 12 out of the next 16 batters. Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll just throw strikes, okay. But it's so crazy how Jim Hickey could come out and just say something and be like, hey.
Why don't you go back to pitching instead of Billy itching? Yeah.
Well, not being a dumb fan here, what I've heard is that Archer's release point was a little early on in the game. I guess his release point was very obviously, I don't know how to put this, not early, but like early on in his delivery, where he was releasing the ball was, I'm struggling through this, but his release point was bad. Words. And Jim Hickey kind of turned him on to that and be like, hey man, you need to kind of hang on to the ball a little bit more. And after that,
can that really help mid game?
Oh sure, dude. I mean, I think about this, Nick. Like, think about when you're just playing slow pitch softball, and you're taking a swing, you're taking a cut at a ball, and you've been doing it this way for a long time, and someone says, hey man, did you know that when you take a cut that you're kind of not following through on the bat, or you're taking a step a little too soon? You're like, oh fuck, I guess I am. And then you correct it, and all of a sudden you slap one out into center field. It's that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
I guess
it's like a little thing where we're like, you don't notice that you're doing it until somebody tells you, hey man, you're doing this. Just be conscious of it. And you're like, all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, I'm conscious of it. Let me fix that. Like, for example, bowling. Okay, like bowling, like some...
Okay, so I was about to say bowling is much more relatable because it is a tweak and it is fixed.
Right. How many of us have been bowling and someone says, "Hey man, your arm is going over to the left every time," and you're like, "Oh, okay, I'll just try to keep it more center," and then you do, and then you roll a strike, and all of a sudden, oh shit, okay. A little bit of the same thing in baseball. Right. I think Jim Hickey was
sidebar. Isn't that the most infuriating thing about bowling? Is because you get it one time and you're like, "Oh, I'll just do that again," and then nope.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, Archer, he certainly turned it on after that conversation with Jim Hickey, and he looked good. And then the bullpen also looked good. Evelyn, Ryan Webb, he gave up two hits, he gave up two runs, but still, I think
let's say one of them was a big one.
I still liked what I saw out of Ryan Webb. And Ernie Romero, the bullpen, who we thought was just going to be a weakness, was, you know, they were fair, at least in the first game. I mean,
at this point in time, I cannot say anything's a weakness that Jim Hickey has his hands on.
It was a tough game, man. Logan Morrison. I mean, I know everybody's piling on Logan Morrison.
Uh oh,
what's that? What's Carlos saying?
Uh oh,
Druin scores. Drew went. Wait, I got a tweet. Excuse me while I tweet.
Oh, no, it's fine. I actually called this, but I called it to my buddy, Ricky. He's a fan of the show. I'm sure he's listening right now, but I cannot believe he actually did it. I said it as a goof.
Interesting. That's something to keep your eye on. Interesting.
Well, I mean, there's something. I mean, I understand that in the AHL, it's a different breed of competition. But when you're hot, you're hot, you know?
Yeah. Anyways, Carlos, he says the bullpen is incredibly underrated. And I thought that was a bunch of horseshit at the beginning. But after four games, I'm like, man, maybe I really did underestimate this bullpen. It's let's take it a game at a time. What do you say? Let's keep with opening day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I mean, that was Stroman.
That's what
was,
we established in game one.
He was pitching out of his mind. Our lineup was just not looking good, top to bottom. I thought Hank Conger had a few. He had a few good at bats. He's good against righties. He got a hit. Corey Dickerson, obviously, he hit the home run. Logan Forsythe, I was disappointed with, as well as Logan Morrison, and you know, top to bottom, I think it was more or less what I expected of like the likes of Kevin Kiermaier, Steven Souza Jr., and Evan Longoria. So, but I expected more out of Chris Archer. I expected more out of like Logan Forsythe. It was just kind of a disappointing game to open up with. You know what I mean? It's one game, but you always like to win opening day, so.
That's the thing is there were people when Jesse was coming back after getting her the first round of beers, she said that somebody on the stairs was walking down and goes, "Oh God, it's 2-0. Let's get out of here." And she said to him, she goes, it's the first game of the year.
Carlos, he says he thinks the lineup is still shit, but I think Souza's going to break out. Should DFA Lomo. Maybe, I don't know. Let's move on to game two. Game two, another 5-3 loss, which is very, very baseball, I would say. That's a thing you'd only see in baseball. Hey, another 5-3 loss. Hey, you see something new every day in baseball. We actually were getting to R.A. Dickey, and they pulled him fairly early. Dickey, what was his fucking line? 5 innings he only went. And we were getting to him. And, you know, Smiley, again, just like Archer, started off shaky, gave up a run early, and then the Blue Jays jump out in the fourth.
I hope that trend stops.
Yeah.
These early runs are really, really...
I think it will. I mean, the Jays are really good, dude. Like, their lineup, top to bottom. Like,
remember, they were in the second to last series.
Like, show me an easy out in this lineup. You got Pilar, Donaldson, Bautista, Encarnacion, Troy Tulowitzki, Colabello, Smoke, Saunders, Goins, and I guess they didn't start Martin, but they started Dole. But that's top to bottom. That's a great fucking lineup, dude. So, like, the Jays are a big team. They're going to be up there in the AL East, if not winning it this year. So, I mean, they're tough to beat. So, props to Drew Smyly. At least kept us in the game. He fought hard in the game, and you know, whatever. And the bullpen again did well. I thought the Gelt, Romero, and Farquhar, they all did well. Farquhar gave up a hit, but other than that, that was it. Our bullpen gave up one hit over that game. Drew Smyly's responsible for all of those. 6 hits, 5 runs, 5 earned runs. So our bullpen,
the 5 earned run part hurts.
But our bullpen from the 6th inning from the 6th inning on was lights out. Against the Toronto Blue Jays, which I just said was a huge lineup. So again, that's something that's like very surprising to me that Farquhar, Romero, and Gelt were able to do so well. It's promising. That's the one promising thing this year. I mean, I think the lineup could come around. The bullpen has been very promising these few games. So let's get to that third game. And the game that everyone's talking about, okay? Of course, the Rays won that game.
Yeah, we did.
Alex Colome picking up the win. Brett Cecil picking up the loss. So that was a game that Jake Odorizzi pitched. And again, just the trend of the kind of awkward starts from our pitching. And the Jays jump out, turn an early lead. We come back a little bit in the
at that point in time. I don't know what was going through your head, but I was like, God, they're gonna sweep us.
Yeah, I was like, we're fucked. I mean, that's pretty much what I was thinking. We're completely.
And I know that's terrible because you know I just said, oh, it's the first game of the year. There's so many, but by game three, it's like, can we please see something different?
But I mean, this game, like to me, it was like it was a thing where we're like. We're a power hitting Rays lineup. Look at these guys; they're power hitting. We're putting we're putting it all on slugging. And then the Jays show you like, okay, this is what a power hitting lineup really looks. Yeah, this is what it looks like, brother. Like we're not going up there and mashing the balls into the seats every time. But we're going up there. We're getting timely hits. We're moving men over. We're getting guys on base, and we're scoring when we need to. So
timely.
Timely shit. Timely hitting. And then Logan Forsythe just fucking jacks one of the seats. And my God, man, that was great. That his home run was just special to me. Special fucking home run. It was good stuff. Because we finally led. And it was like, oh my God, okay, this is what it feels like to win again at baseball. And like we've taken the lead. And you know, this was a game of, or especially the last game. The last game was a game of some amazing catches. Kevin Pillar had a huge, or not Kevin Pillar, but what's his name? Pillar. Is it Kevin?
Bautista.
Pillar and Kiermaier had some huge plays the last game. Kiermaier, of course, missing the home run ball, and then Pillar catching the ball in the outfield. And that, I'm talking the last game, but I mean this game here, the third game.
Yeah, game number three.
Yeah, the one that everybody's talking about. I mean, let's get into this because I'm ready.
It was genuinely the talk of the baseball world.
My body is ready. So for those that don't know, Edwin Encarnacion hits a ball to third base. Evan Longoria feeds the ball over to Brad Miller to start the double play. Brad Miller throws to first, throws wide, and 2 runs score. Kevin Cash comes out, initiates the replay based on the new slide rule, and it's ruled a double play based on Jose Bautista's interference. So
for them, air quotes, way up.
There's the short story. That's the short story. The long story is, I mean, Nick, I mean, do you have a take on this? So, like, what do you think?
I think yet again, another professional sports or sports organization or governing body has subjugated its fans to another rule that's just whoever's looking at it that day, that's is what the ruling is going to be. Because if it was a different crew, it would have gone a different way. It would never have gotten that point. It was like, so you know how many articles I looked at that said this blank is to blame for this? Blank is like,
right.
Should the race have challenged? Should the umps have looked? Like, what the fuck was New York looking at? And
I mean, as I sat there,
I hate the fact that another thing in professional sports has to go to a decision again.
Look,
it's just,
I am a survivor of the Bert Emanuel rule, so I never expect any sort of challenge to go the way of the home team or the way of my team after 1999, sitting in Ferg Sports Bar and waiting for the official to rule it a catch. Ever since that point in my life, I've never...
I agree. He's been in this for almost two decades, and he's been a bit bitter pessimist when it comes to this stuff the whole time.
I've never expected anything from the umpires or the referees or what have you. So when they're back there reviewing it, I'm like, no. It's 4-3 Jays, and we are losing this game. I don't give a fuck what you say. That is a fucking that you know. That's we botched a double play. That's all. That's the long and short of it. You look at the replay, and you know Bautista. He did grab on Logan Morrison's or Logan Forsythe's rather leg, and that's not even the new slide rule. That's just interference in general. I mean, you're not even allowed to do that. Even last year, you can't grab a guy's leg. And Summer, Jays fans would argue to me like, oh, well, you know, Logan Forsythe was in the middle of his throw. He was already making the throw at that point. It wouldn't have mattered either way. I don't know, man. He didn't have a chance to follow through on that throw. He didn't get everything he wanted on that throw. You certainly, if you're in the middle of that throw, would feel that contact on your leg.
As long as that ball is still touching your fingers, you being messed with is going to affect it.
Right. So I mean that in and of itself is something, and then
it's another Kyle-ism.
Another what? In and of itself.
Yeah,
yeah. And then let's see. I think I believe I saved it. So the the rule is this: Rule 6.01A5, comment Rule 7.109E, comment. If the batter or runner continues to advance after he has been put out, he shall not, by the act alone, be considered as confusing, hindering, or impeding the fielder. So I'll repeat that again. If the batter or runner continues to advance after he has been put out, he shall not, by any act alone, be considered as confusing, or hindering, or impeding the fielders. So...
I don't understand that. Then did they assume he did a second thing?
Well, he was already put out.
I understand
he's
that,
been called out. So like at the point where the umpire puts his fist up and says, yeah, then that's it. You can't slide into him. You can't touch him.
You're supposed to be a
non-entity. You're no longer a part of the game at that point. And for Bautista, that was not the point. He touched Logan Forsythe and he was out. I mean, by the letter of the law, by the the absolute letter, he was out. However,
the Rays didn't we do this with the home run rule and the interference
with Alex Rodriguez? Yeah, look, I'll say like for any Jays fans, which no Jays fans are listening, but it's a shitty way to end the game. It really is. I mean, it's
unsatisfying on both parts.
Right. You don't want to end the game on a fucking replay, and it's dumb. And yeah, I get it. But like, there's a lot of Jays fans who are like, they didn't earn that win. Go fuck yourself. Oh, did Logan Forsythe not hit the fucking home run over the right field wall?
Exactly. That doesn't count.
Like, your dude touched a guy. He violated the rules. I'm sorry. Like, did Chad Johnson mean to put the ball down in the end zone and it's rolled not a catch? I'm sure he didn't, but it still happened in the fucking...
And now he's retired, not ever going to do the Super Bowl.
But I forget, it was like the Vikings won that game. It happens all the time across sports. I mean, quit bitching about it. One game in April, they're like, this is an embarrassment to baseball.
I know. You know what? This is every year I've realized finally what professional sports and why ESPN bothers me. It's because they're turning into what CNN and Fox News and everybody that's covering the political race right now is. They're turning that into sports, and it's just the biggest, hottest story right now.
Yeah, it's something that people can give hot takes on, and oh my God, you're ruining the game of baseball. We're ruining a long time ago. Like, oh, this is not how baseball was supposed to be played. 5 years ago, that's fine. But like, look at football. 5 years ago, John Lynch was taking motherfuckers' heads off
and getting called an elite safety for it. By the way.
And you can't do that anymore. Why? Because Junior Seau kissed the wrong end of a shotgun. And
no, he put it to his chest.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be titillating here, but it's the God's honest truth. I mean, football understood at a certain point, hey, we were ruining these guys' lives for the rest of their lives. I mean, we have a sport here that guys only play until their late 30s, and then they still have the rest of their lives to live, and a lot of those guys aren't living good lives at that point.
No, not even kind of good lives. Like, so, they should be pampered, not using Pampers.
Right. So I think it's good that sports ultimately understand that, hey, there's a life after sports, and these guys deserve to have a good full life after that. Like, there's no reason why a second baseman should have knees that he can no longer walk on because he's been taken out too many times by fucking guys sliding into second. It's the God's honest truth.
I cannot disagree with you.
And look, Jays fans or whoever, I know it's a shitty way to end the game. And if it happened to me, I would be pissed off too. I really would. But I understand why.
I'm sure Toronto of the Bay is going off about how that
exactly. Word of Toronto is going off. But word of Lake Superior is going off. Or what? Lake Erie. But I understand why it's in place, because ultimately it's there to protect the players. And
wait, I've got one better. Word of the A.
Ooh, yeah, word of the A. Word of the, what does Drake call it? Like the seven or the six? Word of the six. Started from the bottom, now we're here. But I've said this to a lot of Jays fans over the past couple days. It's a shitty way to end the game, yes, but I still think the rules... The Rays are going to be on the wrong side of it eventually. We will be.
Exactly. And you know what?
Toronto, and I'm going to be pissed
fans,
off about
you
it.
You guys are going to win a game because of it. It's
right.
These things have a way of balancing themselves out. It was the first series of the year. Calm down.
Especially in baseball. You have so many games in baseball. Yeah. The Rays will be on the wrong side of it. You'll be on the right side of it, Jays fans. Calm the fuck down about it, okay? Yeah, is it the best way
shit
to end the game?
Happens.
No, it happens. It fucking happens, bro. So, shit did not happen the next game, the fourth game, 5-3 Rays. Steven Souza Jr. plays out of his mind. And
he goes fucking bonkers.
For the most part, over the last four games, you know, Steven Souza has been showing some really good stuff. I mean, he had a home run, and... He had a few hits. He's been striking out, and I know I called him. Anthony always reminds me. I called him Fuckface McStrikeout on this podcast, but I can no longer in good heart call him that.
I argue that might be a term of endearment.
I will officially retire the name for now.
He's going to give it to Logan Morrison.
Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe that's maybe it's a traveling nickname. You know, maybe it doesn't always stay with one particular player. It stays with all of them. So yeah, maybe Logan Morris is deserving of it. But yeah, that is a game that we undoubtedly won on the back of Steven Souza Jr. And he was just on fire that game.
What was that? What did he end up getting? Double, triple, homer and homer.
He had a chance to hit for the cycle, but
and then he decided to hit another home run.
And four at bats, he had four at bats. He had four hits, two runs, four RBIs, and
that's a monster day.
That is a monster fucking day. He hit it. He hit the ball hard that day. I think his only unproductive at bat was a fielder's choice. I think it was something like that. So, yeah, dude, he was on fire.
Okay, so Anthony posted something in the chat, and it's he has ridiculous power when he connects, and all that really sounds like to me is Carlos Pena.
Perhaps. But if he can still hit 20 to 30 home runs a year, then that's what you want. That's all you need. You know, you look at Corey Dickerson. And if you look at the way Corey Dickerson swings, he just fucking goes up there and woo, hacks at it every time.
Hit this really hard.
Yeah, when he misses hard. He's like, boom. And the same thing with guys like Josh Donaldson. I mean, Josh Donaldson does the same exact thing, but look at him. People, they're chanting MVP every time he gets up. So, you know, you live and die by that. And if you're on, you're on. If you can, if you manage to hit those kind of those balls, and if you manage to dig those things out, then yeah, then you're a 30 to 40 home run hitter. If not, then you're fuck face McStrikeout.
Do you remember when Evan really did start hitting for power before he started sucking?
Yeah.
He was a bad ball hitter. He hit a lot of balls really deep when they were out of the strike zone.
He still does. I think, you know,
not nearly as much as he used to.
He has a little bit he's the face of our franchise, but he really like on the Jays, he would be Troy Tulowitzki. You know, Jose Bautista is the face of their franchise. Edwin Encarnacion is the face of their franchise.
Yeah,
he would be like a Troy Tulowitzki. That's what he is. And the best that we can put up forward, the best face that we can put forward is a Troy Tulowitzki, is an Evan Longoria. I mean, that's what he is. He's a 20 to 25 home run hitter guy. You know, he's going to be there, and that's just who he is.
He's got
a
great glove on the corner.
Yeah, yeah. Does he suck? Yeah, maybe for like a premier player he sucks, but I mean he's
you know,
he's good. He's good.
He's a really good player that got put on a team where we had no really good players, so he became our great player. And
right.
He's like, okay.
On a team like the Angels or the Yankees or the Dodgers or something, he would be like the third guy, but on a team like the Rays, he's the face. So
yep.
That's what it is. Yeah. That's how it is. Okay. Cool. I've exhausted. I've said my piece.
I don't want to talk anymore.
Doing this anymore. So what do we say? I mean, first week of the season. What do we think? The jury for me is out. I can't say if they suck or don't suck.
I can't either, but I'll tell you which way I'm leaning.
The way I'm leaning is, I know our rotation's better. Our lineup has not impressed me, but they've shown some things where I'm like, okay. And then our bullpen has impressed me. So based on that, based on the fact that we split, I think that, you know, let's slide it towards the home team right now.
Okay, good. I thought I was going to be the only one being optimistic, but I think we look okay.
I think we look okay. To open up the season, I think we can say unequivocally, right? Or not unequivocally, but we could say, at least based on what we've laid out for you, Rays don't suck.
Anthony put it perfectly. Middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack. So, based on that, Rays don't suck.
Jesus, you're goddamn it being an embarrassment to professional baseball, being like that.
All right. Cool. It's good to have that back. We did. Consistency.
Felt right.
All right. Folks, make sure you go to sharkdropper.com, check out any and all of our podcasts. We have 10 of them there for you to enjoy. Nick is involved in a lot of them. I am also involved. We got
Pokemon. Top 5 Pokemon.
Top 5 Pokemon coming out soon, very soon. Yeah, I think that'll be either this week or next week.
So. Y'all are laughing at me, but you know what? Fuck you.
I mean, I want to hear it. I'm interested to hear what it is. We are going to play Alan Wake, the horror game, very soon.
I'm looking forward to this as well.
Yeah, so we're gonna play and review Alan Wake for the Xbox 360. You can look forward to that. And on Shark Dropper, I think this weekend I'm gonna interview a filmmaker. So.
Wah, bah, bah, bah,
bah. Blah, 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 blah. So look forward to that.
We're gonna get lots more. Hosts or guests on these shows, by the way. We're gonna be much,
but what? Legit, what? You can listen to Nick on this week's or next week's Shark Dropper podcast. Nick will be on that podcast. So
yes.
You can listen to Nick on that podcast. And so if you're a fan of him on War of the Bay,
yes, you can think I'm funny now. Try and
you can hear his
dance without sports.
Exactly. You'll hear his takes on Donald Trump and AIDS. So you can hear that. So thank you, of course, to Block Talk Radio for being our sponsor. And on that note, let's make some bold predictions and get out of here. So,
Drew Winn
is the Messiah. There's my bold prediction.
I think we get a shutout against the Orioles. Not saying which game, but one of them we get a shutout, and it's by a big score. It's you think 5-6-0.
The pitching staff wakes up and just
shuts everybody the fuck down.
That's bold. I think Drouin has at least. I think Drouin continues his streak. So he's got 10 games in a row with a goal.
So you think he's a goal a game?
I think he continues that streak by the next time we podcast.
Next time we podcast should be in the playoffs, by the way.
So let's see. Let's see. That's a bold prediction. Two good ones right there. All right. Cool. That has been Word of the Bay for this week. I am Kyle.
I am Nick.
See you next week.